Thanks, Keith. Good morning, everyone. I just came at 10 o'clock. I gave a talk that ticked off most of my soil fertility colleagues, and now I'm going to probably tick off most of my phosphorus mafia colleagues. So I'm going to give you a little background information about how we did this analysis. You know, phosphorus indexes are tools that we use to assess the risk of P losses resulting from runoff and erosion, and in some states, you know, leaching is also included in that model. That's from a given set of management conditions. You know, the soil test value, the tillage that's used, fertilizer values, or fertilizers that are applied, manures that are applied. And a few of these PIs are quantitative, but most are qualitative. You know, when PIs first started getting developed, some of the objectives were, well, we just want to make sure we get the, you know, the 10% of the kind of the bad actors, and then others were actually trying to quantify phosphorus loss. The APL model, the annual phosphorus loss estimator, is Pete Bottas's model. Pete's not here, I don't believe, to protect himself. So it's an Excel spreadsheet that quantitatively estimates annual field scale soluble and sediment P losses under the same sets of management conditions. And APL is intended, this is from Pete's slide, one of the slides he sent me, it's intended to be process-based like SWOT, APEX, etc., but user-friendly like P-Index, which gave me a chuckle because I have not found P-Indexes to be easy to use at all. Now, APL's not highly developed software. It's an Excel spreadsheet, you know, so it's not, you know, it's kind of on the lower life forms of software, but it does supposedly incorporate kind of the latest and greatest of PLOS science. And, you know, the Sarah 17 phosphorus mafia just seems to really think that, you know, that's a good thing for us to look at when we're comparing stuff. And so, so what I decided was, well, let's compare what the phosphorus index results were compared to the APL results. And so as part of our MMP development project, you know, we've programmed fertilizer recommendations in 44 states so far. And as part of the, you know, programming effort, NRCS supplies us comprehensive nutrient management plans. And then we program those so it's a test bed to make sure our fertilizer recommendations are right and things like that. And we've been playing catch up on programming all of these phosphorus indexes into our software. So actually we're up to, I think, 40 now. It's 39 states that are released, but South Dakota is one that we just finished programming. We just haven't released the next version of MMP. And so we decided that we would program APL as part of MMP as well, so we could then compare APL to the phosphorus index. And so from all of these different nutrient management plans, we have, you know, 1,668 individual field phosphorus index runs. And so then we had, you know, run the APL on all 1,668 of those. And so then I tried to compile the results and categorize them and group them into regions within the USA. So this is just kind of our status map of MMP development, you know, so we just have Texas, Louisiana, North Carolina, and New York as far as fertilizer recommendations. We haven't done Alaska and Hawaii yet either, which I would really like to do because I'd like to go there. When it comes to the phosphorus indexes, this map is accurate except for South Dakota, which now has its phosphorus index program. So I kind of broke it out into regions. And so in the western region, I have Arizona, Colorado, Montana, New Mexico, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, Washington, and Wyoming. And then in the Midwest, we have Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio, South Dakota. In the Northeast, we have Connecticut, Delaware, Massachusetts, Maryland, Maine, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Virginia, and Vermont, and West Virginia. And then in the Southeast, I have Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Tennessee. Those may not be the way you'd break them up, but that's the way I decided to break them up. And so the first graph that I came up with, just so you know, the green bar on the right, NRCS in one of the 190 documents is targeting, saying that less than 2 pounds of pea loss per acre is what they would consider to be in the low category. And in the, and so that's what that bar is in the green. And the yellow is between 2 and 5 pounds of pea loss per acre, and anything greater than 5 is considered in the high category. Okay, just so you, and most of my graphs are going to look just like this. So the first thing I did was I just programmed everybody, you know, plotted everybody, but phosphorus index values in some states go to 1 to 5, and other states they go up past 4,000. I just didn't want to make the thing that long, or all the points would have fallen on a straight line. So I was thinking, well, that's not really a very good way of kind of displaying the data, because it doesn't tell us anything except there's a whole hell of a lot of points on the high category. Okay. Big fan of pie charts. I thought, you know, they're pretty simple. I like to, you know, very easily understood, but I just couldn't quite figure out how to get that to work. So what I did is I decided, well, if we break these categorical rankings in our phosphorus indexes, you know, we have low, medium, high, and no states have the same ones. You know, some are very low, low. Well, those are in the low. Some have moderate. Some have medium, moderately high. You know, it's kind of like ordering a steak. And so I put those in the medium category. And then, you know, the high and the very high and the excessive I put into the high category. And so these dots do not represent kind of a density or frequency or anything. It does show the range, and it shows that, boy, there's an awful lot of times when we say that we have a low risk when the APL model says we're losing a whole heck of a lot of phosphorus. And I guess if you look at the far right-hand corner, at least if you just plotted those three lines, you know, the three end members and excluded that 30 kilogram loss per hectare, at least it's kind of directionally correct, but there's just way too many points here that fall in the high category and the mediums and lows. So if I break it out by states, these are the western states. Again, you see that, you know, at least the high category rankings, I did not put any individual states on here because I didn't want to tick off any individuals, but, you know, in that high category ranking, at least the losses are high, but we have the greatest loss with one of our low category rankings, according to the APL model. So when we look at the Midwest, you know, the medium's kind of pretty good at doing the medium, but the lows, there's too many highs in the low, and there's too many lows in the high. And so it doesn't give me a whole lot of comfort that we're doing very well in the Midwest. And when I went to the Northeast, again, you know, we have an awful lot of categorical rankings with our phosphorus index that are in the low category, but the APL P loss estimate is in the high category. And there's a lot of P losses from APL that are kind of ridiculously high. You know, these are numbers that none of us would deem anywhere near reasonable. And then finally for the southeastern states, again, it's kind of the same story. And so what I did is I just thought, all right, how many observations do I have in each one of these regions? And so in the west region, you know, about 45% of the time, our phosphorus index is in agreement with the APL rating, right? So our phosphorus index category falls in the same category of the APL ranking. About 22% of the time, the phosphorus index would say that this is in the medium category, and the APL model would say it's in the high category. And about 8% of the time, the phosphorus index would say we're in the low category, and the APL model would say we're in the high category. So when we start looking at that, you know, 30% of the time, we are underestimating phosphorus loss. And so that's bad for the environment. 25% of the time, we are overestimating phosphorus loss, so we're putting an unnecessary pinch on the producer. When we go to the Midwest, it's, you know, again, 25% of the time, we are underestimating that loss and potentially penalizing the environment. And 56% of the time, we're pretty much on target, and 20% of the time, we're hurting our producers. And you go to the Northeast, it's 30%, you know, underestimation, 46% we're right, 24% we're pinching the producer. In the Southeast, 55% of the time we're right, but 38% of the time we're really underestimating that. And that didn't surprise me at all when I saw how some of these phosphorus indexes are programmed, because at 500 parts per million, you can still put on phosphorus in a lot of these things. And so it's a big problem. And if we just kind of summarize it as a whole, out of 1,668 individual field runs, 5% of the time we're dramatically underestimating the loss. 26% of the time we are underestimating the loss. We're right about half the time, and 20% of the time we are hurting our farmers. And so to summarize, you know, our first generation PI categorical rankings are in agreement with APL estimates of P loss about 50% of the time, but we underestimate risk about 30% of the time, which could potentially have negative environmental consequences. And we overestimate risk about 20% of the time, which is tough on farmers. Okay. So where does this leave us? You know, first thing is that first generation phosphorus indexes are not total failures. Okay. They're not total failures. It's a lot better than what we had before. Okay. However, they're not the solution. Okay. The APL model is not a perfect tool. It's not the solution either. Is that my 5 minute thing? Okay, I can do an interpretive dance at the end because I'm almost there. Okay, you know, in the real world, farming takes place on complex landscapes with varying soils, topography, hydrology, underlying geology, and then we throw the management on top of all of this. Okay, none of our phosphorus indexes, nor APL, is a spatial analysis tool. And I think that everything that we do in the future, the next generation of risk assessment tools, it has to be done in a spatial context. It's going to be a real challenge for soil erosion and sediment delivery because we are basically married to Russell 2 for soil erosion. It is not a spatial tool. It has a lot of problems with it. A lot of the Southeast overestimations are because Russell 2 says that there's more than 2 tons of soil erosion on a pasture. Sorry, I don't think so. Okay, that Russell 2 science needs to be fixed, and somehow we have to be able to get it into a spatial context. And so I also, just like I feel about fertilizer recommendations, we have magic that happens at the state borders. You know, for fertilizer recommendations, all of a sudden the fertilizer recommendation jumped by 50 pounds or decreased by 50 pounds because we switched from one state border to the next. Same soil, same climate, different kingdom. I think with, you know, my approach to fertilizer recommendations is we should go to a more regional approach. And I absolutely think we have to do this with phosphorus indexes. We should not have changes at state borders. We piss and moan about NRCS, get to the state border, and all of a sudden the soil polygon map unit changed. And we're all up in arms about that. But we're okay with having those state borders when we're in charge. And I think that's wrong. That's going to be essential in the advent of TMDLs. We have to have process-based tools that are in a spatial context that can predict the amount of nitrogen, phosphorus, and sediment lost from the field boundary or directly into water. Because in a spatial context with a TMDL, what percentage of the watershed do you occupy? What is your allocated load? How do you document that you're only contributing your fair share? That's only going to be done in a spatial context with quantitative tools that are process-based. So with that, I'll open it up for questions because I think I've got time for one or two. John?
How do you handle the runoff values and the sediment loss?
So the sediment loss is based on Russell 2. Okay, so we programmed Russell 2 as the generator of the sediment loss, and then also used the runoff curve numbers and stuff that are kind of variable within Russell 2 to generate runoff. Antonio. That what?
That should be the standard to compare to.
Oh, no, I'm just, but we had to have something, right?
And I don't think that fits together. Second, I mean, you've got essentially a normal distribution.
Yeah.
See, and that happened with everything, but it doesn't matter what moment you compare. If it happened with fertilizer recommendation, it's all there. This is the same thing that you almost have, that more or less, you know, you have this two tails. So, I mean,
Well?
You see, we always think that there is nothing in our own fertilizer amount, the source testing, beans, whatever, that you don't have that kind of community.
Well, we should have a much tighter relationship. Yeah, well, it's more like 30 and 20, and that it's like whose question are you, you know, who are you, right? If you're EPA, you're not happy about it. If you're a farmer, you're not happy about it.
The other thing is that those beans are trying to work up the mice for local industry. I mean, you are comparing apples and bananas.
Well, I mean, but I'm using the climate data that's appropriate for the location that plan was from. I mean, I'm not here to bash our P indexes, because I said that they're not a total failure. I'm just saying we can't sit on our laurels and say we have this problem solved. If we're not doing it in a spatial TMDLs and phosphorus indexes do not align. If we're going to go to TMDLs, we need to move our science to quantitative assessments, right or wrong. Roberta.
Well, I think we're at TMDL, not going to TMDL, and that's where I always want to see this go, because how do you define what's low versus lost if you're not comparing it to the media that you're interested in, which is the water body? So that's going to vary depending on the area you're in, and TMDL, if you give them the location, should be able to waste load or the load analysis, how much you should be getting to for that particular water
line.
Because otherwise, low, to say for a national level, this is low, it's meaningless. Or even in the state, in the watershed.
Well, and it's also, you know, we're comparing all these different PIs to a model that is not in a spatial context either. So it may very well be that if we applied our phosphorus index in a spatial context, that we would actually get better results with what the true environmental consequences are. It's just that we have no way to test it because the PIs are not in a spatial context. Nathan?
Yeah, so I guess I'd say that it actually doesn't look too bad given all the variability and everything that's inherent in all these fossil things. And, I mean, one of the simplest things to do is look at where each individual state, you know, each state sets their low, medium, and high totally random and arbitrary, and not random, but arbitrary, and of their own accord. It'd be very interesting to see that on a state basis, right?
I just couldn't do it in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I can do it, but yeah.
In one state, it looks better. I don't know.
No, it doesn't.
So that's my question.
Yeah.
And actually, I would like the response and interpretation.
You like what?
I'd like you to give me the response and interpretation.
Oh, okay. You wouldn't have so many questions. I could, and I don't. Okay.
So, but you're saying that on a state level, it doesn't look any better.
No. Some states, if you just do a linear R square, it's 0.04. Some states it's 0.8, but it's because there's four data points.
So are there some states that are good?
There's some states that are not so bad, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not...
That would be interesting to see that, because that's the place for us to go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what the thing is, I also have a very small sample size, right? I mean, one plan for one state, and some of those states have four fields, other states have 40 fields. And it's 4 years or 3 years or whatever, and so I'm running it on every field every year. And so I think that it's too small of a sample size to really make definitive statements. I'm just saying that we are underestimating phosphorus loss too much from my perspective. Okay.
There's lots of questions, and out of questions comes progress. So that's a good thing. It is time for our break, or else I would have been cutting you off sooner, Brad.